everybody. Welcome to Tadaima, Terrace House Podcast, your weekly companion to your favorite show on Netflix. I'm Robert Scarpanito, and I am joined here by Daily Wilhelm.
Konbanwa.
Jack Zapeda.
Irashaimase.
And Colin Sparling.
Hello, everybody. Can I just take just a second and say something?
No.
I know we've said it a lot already.
Okay.
This season. That, like, every episode has just been, like, pretty consistently juicy. A lot of content, a lot of good stuff to talk about. But holy shit, y'all. I think this takes the cake, what we're about to talk about.
See, I'd say that, but the fact that people are still saying episode 11's the one, and this clearly, apparently, isn't the one, like, I'm like...
What no. could 11 be?
Same. You guys are just building scared. Up to 11 too much. I'm just like, I'm not comfortable with this.
Like, it's over... It's hype. It's so much hype.
Yeah, we'll get there soon. But this one was chock full. I put in the Discord earlier this week, guys, can't wait for you to watch this episode. It's all killer, no filler, one of the best. It's just so jam-packed with crazy shit to talk about. And I might have a controversial Terrace House opinion right now, but I'm wondering if... There is a lot of stuff we're talking about, right, this season, but like so far, the episode so far, I've been feeling kind of... Dare I say bored with the show so far? I don't know. But it's just kind of like, I'm wondering if, you know, we look back, you know, in the months and quarters ahead and we look back to now, we're like, you know what? Maybe part one was kind of boring. I don't know. But it's picking up now, and that's the important part.
I was going to say, this was not a boring episode.
You're right. It was awesome.
I mean, I'd agree with you in that some ways it is a little bit boring because there's been a lot of like he said, she said. There's been a lot of
seashore.
Yeah, there's a lot of I like this person, JK. I like that person. Never mind. I don't know who I like. Actually, I like everyone. Actually, no, I don't. Like, everyone's been a little bit wishy-washy this season.
And last week was called Passive Boys because there's a lot of inaction going on. And I guess that's what I'm getting at. But it's picking up here. Luckily, we're having a true incident here. Maybe the temper incident wasn't so much of one. This is definitely an incident, however short-lived it might end up being.
Yes. So I say let's start driving toward it because we need to... Ooh. We know what's going to be like the next 30 minutes of our show, I feel like.
Let's go.
So the episode starts up with the panel, of course, and I think I am a big fan of Yama's new nickname, Virgin at Heart.
Yes.
I feel like it fits.
He was like, because the whole thing is that he got married, like, just after 2 months of dating, and it's like, oh, yeah, he was like, I got to lock this down because no one's going to want to date me.
Yeah.
I have to lock this down before she leaves me.
I can't let her get to know me. Too much.
Yeah.
Smart. Before smart she move. Discovers my true nature.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's got the impulse. Wasn't that the premise for a fucking Ben Stiller movie?
I'm sure.
The Heartbreak Kid. He dates this woman for like 3 months and like something happens where they just get married after 3 months and then everything just goes downhill on the honeymoon.
And then he gets a job at a museum.
Yep.
And then
all of Ben Stiller's movies are all in the same universe.
They're all related.
Yes. And then he's a model.
Yeah, I was going to say, then Blue Steel. Yeah.
Yeah. And then
he was in Dodgeball.
Walter Mitty.
What's the name of that movie where he's just like an average Joe fucking Barry? Like, that's just his retirement movie?
Yes. That's it.
But anyway, we get into the actual episode proper. It picks up right where the last one ended. So thankfully, Jack, you don't need to boo this episode. Right? It fulfilled your desires.
I still want to boo right now, though. Can I do it still?
Yes.
Boo.
Yes.
Okay, just because. It was in me.
So, Haruka and Kenny in the room. Haruka has broken down. She's a little bit in tears. But while in tears, she confesses her feelings to Kenny. She's a little bit frustrated at how it's happened, but nonetheless, like, here we are. What else are we going to do? And part of her frustration comes from the fact that she has been trying so hard to push herself to be noticed by Senpai. Teach me to play guitar, Senpai. I've been interested in you since that moment that you taught me guitar. And I can't help but wonder, then why the fuck was your first date so horrendous and so bad?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember talking about the episode where they go on that date, where they get food, and it's just awkward silence a lot of the time, at least from the edit that we saw. But then, post-date, Haruka recalls the date and says she has a great time. It's very easy to talk to Kenny for her and yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, that definitely wasn't conveyed to us at all. Like, not even a bit. So very confusing.
Right. But nonetheless, that she's apparently been into him since the beginning and she needs a definitive answer. Like right here, right now, Kenny, do you like me? And Kenny tries to weasel his way out of it at first, saying like, oh, I find all three of you attractive. It's like, no, fuck you. Answer right now.
I mean, she was very flustered this whole, even before she walked into the room, right? She was flustered at the table with Risako. And it's just like, I get the feeling that she already knew what he was going to say, but she needed like the final nail in the coffin to kind of come down. Like she knew it wasn't going to be what she wanted to hear, but she just needed that finality. And she said as much. She said, if you don't have feelings for me, I just need to know, because if nothing's said and it's not made plain, then I'm going to continue holding hope. And it's just like hurting her inside. And I've been there too. Like, oh man, you know, you can't force or will or argue someone into liking you. It just doesn't work that way. Don't do that. Right. Yeah. And so it was rough. You know, I felt for her because I've been in both positions. I mean, Kenny was so obviously uninterested. He's just sitting there. If you go back and watch again, he's just like scratching his toes. Like, oh God, like kind of in nervousness.
Man. Yeah.
Like, he totally knew what was going on. Like, I don't think that he's, like, naive to the way that people have obviously been, like, coming on to him.
Yeah.
But before we find out some things that he said slash did in that moment later, which was conveniently out of the edit, and I don't know how I feel about that, but I thought that he was handling it pretty well, because it was like he handed her tissues and was like, no, come here and sit like right next to me versus like over there on the floor. Like, I think from what I saw then, I felt like he was handling it the best that he could.
Right. Because he does that subtle thing where like when she's sitting on the floor, you know, they're not at eye level. And there's just that very subtle primal instinct we have of like, since you're sitting lower than me, you are lesser than me. Right. And he at least kind of like levels the playing field, which I like. It was very good. But I think I was so confused at this, and Daly just alluded to it. But like not once did Kenny say, what was it? What a crazy drama you're living right now, right?
Your life is, or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, so you can't blindside us with that later, but not include it in the edit. Like legit, this feels like a mistake on the editing department's part.
It's an example of what we talked about on a very early episode on things we hate about Terrace House. There's like sloppy editing here. And like, I don't think that it was omitted intentionally. It just seems, again, like a mistake. Like, why would they allude to that and bring it up multiple times later on in the episode, but not have him show it? Like, you know, his delivery of that line at this part here. So it was weird. And I was jarred. I was like, wait a second. I don't remember him saying that at all.
Like, it's confusing. The only thing I can think of is that they didn't get good audio of it, and because they said that it was like when she was leaving and he kind of like left her with that statement. So he kind of mumbled it
on the butt.
Yeah. Like what crazy drama you live in now.
Yeah.
Oh, what a dick.
They made it sound like he muttered it under his breath or something like that. And so,
which is kind of worse also.
Yeah. It's very passive aggressive sounding. And I think that definitely would have changed the vibe of the conversation a little bit if they had left that in there and we could hear it. And I think, though, that otherwise, the way Kenny kind of turns down Haruka in the moment, I'm kind of glad he, because she was looking for a definitive answer and he gave like a there's no room to like refute this, like no other way you can take this, what I'm about to say. No, I do not see you as a potential partner.
Also, you know, I like Risako.
Yeah, he let her know that too.
I see. He cut and dry, very clear. Like, you can't dispute this in any sort of way. That's
like, such a double whammy for her in one evening. Yeah. It's like Risako just like fucked me over, for lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. And then I go and talk to the guy that I like, and he's like, oh yeah, I like Risako.
And it's like I still get the sense that Haruka wasn't shocked by this news, but it was just like that finality of it. Like, I just need to know definitively. Just say it, please, so I can move on.
Yeah.
And so she even said that she was suspected as much that she felt that he was going for Risako. So it was a tough scene, but we come to find it's not. the toughest scene in this episode.
I would just like to say though too, before we get to the next scene, like already at this point, if I'm Kenny and I witness this happening, right? In my head, Risako is losing points.
You said that last week.
Yeah, I did. And so, like, I'm just kind of, like, reminding before we even get to the next scene. So, like, at this point, I'm Kenny, and she's already losing points. So, when I saw Kenny actually still say that he's still interested in Risako, I was actually a little bit, like, I was a little bit surprised that he felt strong enough still at that moment to say it out loud to Haruka.
That's how much he doesn't care about Haruka.
Yeah, that's the I think that's the message I get.
Mm-hmm. Cold.
Okay.
Get it cold-blooded.
Guys, let's strap in. Do you everyone have their seatbelts on, their harnesses strapped, ready to go?
Click.
We're about to.
My abs are engaged. Let's do this Karis House workout together, everybody.
That's honestly what it is like. Yeah. It's like, oh.
Yeah, this is about to be really tense. Okay, so we get through the shit tro, and we open up in the girls' room. Risako and Haruka enter the ring. Only one person leaves alive.
Ding, 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 ding.
Let's get ready to rumble.
So the scene opens with Haruka relaying the events that just happened with Kenny and how Kenny shot her down. And Risako says she's sorry in a very I'm not sorry way.
Why? And why even say that?
Yeah. And Haruka just straight up says, no, you're not. And she's like, yeah, you're right. I'm not. And she actually chuckles when she says that, too. It's very like mean and vindictive. It's like, why would you laugh at someone? Like, if you don't feel sorry for them, don't say you're sorry and then admit you're not sorry while laughing.
It's like, come on. The core of what they like wind up getting into is that like Risako's like, well, we just like process things differently. And Haruka's also like, we're just like, she's like, I don't hate you for this, but I think we just like process and do things very differently.
Oh, she totally
hates
her.
It's like they're both agreeing, but for some reason it feels like Risako's wanting Haruka to just be like, no, I'm angry at you, instead of like this very Han-san, I guess, approach where it's like, you know, trying to step back and be the adult about it and
remove yourself from the situation, just look at it like, objectively. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas I feel like that just gets on Risako's nerves more and more because she's like, you're being like a goody two shoes, like playing the victim. Like,
dude,
it's very childish.
You know what you look like on screen, so you're trying to look good, and that's pissing me off.
I have so many words.
Yeah. So let's dissect this like one major bullet point at a time, because there's
a lot
that gets thrown out.
It's a lot to keep track of.
So the first thing is, obviously, I guess the main Kickstarter to this argument is Risako revealed Haruka's feelings. Haruka doesn't like that. For Risako's point of view, it's that Haruka is an actress and she's acting so obviously around Kenny. And since she's an actress, she knows she's acting obviously around Kenny. Therefore, why is it bad to say something explicitly about something that's happening implicitly? I feel like that's just a bad analysis. That's just not...
Yeah.
Like, I think Risako is absolutely in the wrong about that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
like she's
bad
pulling
her
act. Yeah, she's pulling her acting chops to get a guy interested in her. I don't know about that.
Well, it's more so with Risako. It's like, you're clearly flirting with him. Why is it bad to say you like him? Like, that doesn't
because
make sense.
Because that's not how society works.
That's not how romance works. No, you don't just out someone because it's like, well, I know you like him, so I'm just going to out you right now. I don't know why you don't just say it. It's because, and that's not even how real life works. It's like, you don't just out. That's not your business.
It was. No. She's making it seem like she did her a favor. And it's like, fuck you. You didn't do me any favors. Like, what the fuck? Like, that's my whole takeaway from this is that Risako is really bad at arguing, I think. I mean, she's good at being aggressive, but like her points were all like flawed up and down the whole way. You know, before I declare a winner here though, but I mean, it's just like kind of what it left me with. I was kind of disappointed in the way the whole thing shook out, and it made Haruka seem very just more mature and just more measured in her responses. I mean, yeah, so that's my, you know, 10,000 foot view down of this whole thing, but it gets really, really petty and really shitty, doesn't it?
Can I just point out like how much Risako comes off as a two-timing hypocrite here? Because she claims like, hey Haruka, you're being too flirty with him, like it's so obvious, right? I'm like, bitch, who said thank you five times and deep bowed on a chair to a drunk man for covering your food in front of Haruka. Yeah, it's like, dude.
And the thing about Risako's arguments is she's like, you could have said something there. You should have said something there. Like, she's making it all always just seem like it's Haruka's fault for what Haruka does or doesn't do. And like, Risako's just like, I'm going to do me, and this is me, and you should act just like how I would and respond like I would. Otherwise, it's your fault. And it's just like, again, so immature is a word I'm going to keep using with Risako here.
Yeah. It's just not the way it works.
No, I don't know why she has that in her head that she's like in the right. But then again, she's the same kind of person that sits down at if she's able to read Haruka so obviously when she like made dinner and is like, hey, Kenny, I knew you're going to be home. Like, here's some soup. And then she just like joins them. Like, when it's very clear that it's like, yeah, no, Haruka just wanted to talk to Kenny. This isn't like a group thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just read the room. But I think a lot of it comes down to Risako just being spiteful towards Haruka, because it's maybe to her it's like a competition, you know.
To both of them it is, I think.
Yeah, but I think Risako is like taking it to a whole other level, right? Mm-hmm. Where like Haruka is trying to be, you know, just do her thing and try to win fair and square, I guess you could call it. Risako is trying to play dirty on the flip side. You know, she's going out of her way to try and like embarrass Haruka. She's, you know, flirting with him in front of Haruka. Stuff that Haruka doesn't really do.
She is putting her on blast, as the kids say.
As the kids say, yes.
How youthful of you.
Yes. So youthful.
Yeah, but like you said, they start airing out what I wrote in my notes as old, dirty, rancid laundry.
Yikes. Yeah. It was ugly.
Yeah, because they dig deep.
It gets brought up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it gets brought up again, like, oh, I feel like you and Kaori are always ganging up on me. Like, the conversation stops when I walk into the room.
And so with that, that's one thing that I can't identify with her in, because, like, if I walked in a room and Colin and Robert are talking, but then every time I enter the room, they stop and it just gets weird and quiet, I'd be like, oh, my bad. You know what I mean? Like, it would be a weird thing.
Yeah.
So I get where she's coming from that. I mean, Haruka and Kaori are not without fault here too, you know. I mean, they tried, at least on the show we've seen, that they tried to include her in talking, but it's just like, you can say that, but like, if your actions don't really show it and follow up, then I can't blame Risako so much for feeling alienated in that way too. So that's one thing where I see her point on that.
Right. Well, and we saw in the last episode too, right, where where all the girls went out to lunch together,
right,
and they tried to like talk things out, but it never really felt like they got that far. Like, things were being said, like, they said how they felt, but none of it really stuck.
Yeah, they weren't careful enough about not making Risako feel alienated, and it just boils over here and she brings it up.
Yeah, it makes me wonder. I guess I just want to see more of how Haruka and Kaori tried to include Risako, because if it was at least to the point where they're like, oh, hey, Risako, you can come inside, like, you can join us and talk, because alluded to the fact that sometimes Risako would just stand outside the door, you know, and like listen in.
Yeah, that's a little strange. I think she's so weird. It's like, and she was trying to get the tea.
Yeah, you know? And if Haruka and Kaori legit have said, hey, we see you by the door, why don't you come on in, you can join us, we can talk, and Risako says, no, I'm good, I'm going to go downstairs, I don't think that's her being polite. That is legit her being passive aggressive. So you can't say that my politeness is being misconstrued as passive aggression when you legitimately are being passive aggressive.
That's exactly what I thought when she was like, I did it out of politeness. And I'm like, your version of politeness is very passive aggressive.
No, yeah, right. I'm with you guys.
Yeah, because I mean, if it had been like they see Risako walk in, they don't say a word, that's fine. But if we're to trust Haruka, they have tried. They've legitimately tried to include her. And Risako is just kind of like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
And it's at this point, Haruka says, nothing you say seems authentic. And it's at this point, a Creed song kicks in and it totally ruins the mood for me. Like, I'm sorry, but it's really bad butt rock.
How do you know it was Creed? It just seemed like some Limp Bizkit ripoff.
It was just butt rock. It was
some generic bullshit. So I just pulled out the most generic rock butt rock band.
It's pretty extreme.
Yeah, it was a little over the top for the scene.
Like, it legit distracted me from everything. I hated it.
But it was like, it was an intense moment because we've never had a fight like this where like it's literally like verbal jabs, like,
dude, verbal haymakers.
Done with your narrative.
Yeah, not even jabs. It's like victim narrative. On.
Yeah, I mean,
where do we start?
Yeah. I guess we can start off with. I mean, now the argument is getting a little bit circular, right? Because it's at some point here, Risako says, "I'm not sure what to say when you prance around like you like him and then berate me for pointing it out." And it's not that Haruka was berating her. It's more like, you did something wrong. At least own up to the fact.
Mm-hmm.
And it's here we see the difference in how they think. Because again, Risako doesn't see this as a bad thing. She sees it as a favor, which I don't understand. I'm pretty sure none of you three understand that philosophy.
The thing about this is that there were plenty of opportunities to de-escalate the situation and just end it and before it got too crazy, but neither one of them wanted to back down because this is like a multitude of issues all coming up at the same time. Kaori's not there to help diffuse or moderate or mediate, not that it's her job, but I mean, that was one of the things that just allowed this to continue. And again, neither one wanted to back down and they both had things to say and get off their chest and they fucking did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to analyze is Risako's, "I'm really done with your victim narrative," because one, that's a very heartless, callous thing to say, especially in this climate. But also, I feel like this conversation, especially if we can call it a conversation, is more Risako interpreting and or making Haruka seem like the victim.
She's trying to deflect. I got that sense. When I was like, okay, Risako's losing this, like, officially. Like, because I was paying attention, like, oh, who's winning? Who's winning this argument? You know, and I don't know if this is, like, a Japanese culture thing. I think I heard this a while ago, but I think I heard that in Japanese culture, when there is a disagreement, it's generally considered the first person that loses their temper is the one that loses that argument, basically, right? Like, who can keep their cool the longest? And where in America, at least, it kind of seems like who can escalate their aggression the highest up to and beyond throwing blows, right? Like, that's kind of who wins. So what I'm getting at here is that that's kind of the turning point. The, what do you call it? The Volta?
The Volta. The Volta. You're learning.
Is that a thing?
No, it's not. But anyway, it's the turning point where I figured out that Risako, okay, you're losing this argument and it's all downhill from here for you and you don't have a leg to stand on really because Haruka's too logical with what she's bringing up.
Yeah, now I think it got to a point where Risako just started throwing insults out there that were kind of baseless. Mm. You know, she was really just trying to stay relevant and she was losing her cool because of it. And usually, at least I've noticed for the most part, when you're in an argument and you do lose your cool, then you just start spewing shit out there that doesn't really coherently support your argument.
So it felt very, like, weirdly meta. Like, it's like, you know, when this premieres on Fuji TV, it's going to look like you're the sad victim. Like, you went and cried to Kenny.
Right.
And now I look like the villain. Like, you're trying to make me look like the villain is what I think she really wanted to say. But maybe she had enough recognition that it's like, no, you are acting the villain right now with what you're saying.
Real fourth wall breaking. 100% being a villain. And so one of the things that I kept reiterating was that, like, I don't know if this is a competitive thing or if it's like part of it was maybe Risako was annoyed that Haruka kept going after the person that she was liking on, right? Because it was Ruka for Risako for a minute and then she switched over to Kenny and then Haruka followed. So I don't know if that's one of those things where, like, hey, like, fuck off, I'm gonna basically tell you off and, like, you know, really ruin the relationship that you're trying to build with this other person.
Can I share my favorite part about this whole exchange? I mean, the words they say is great snacks here. Like, I'm getting full here. I'm like an overfed a League of Legends character right now with this argument.
Oh, I get it.
But my favorite part was the nonverbal stuff. Whenever someone would say, "Watashi wa?" And they're like, "Ne." and like, oh me, oh you, oh me. And then you would see their breathing intensify, dude. Watch them. Like they are getting pissed. They're like sitting there. Like it's just going really, their heart rate is going up. I wish there was like a heart rate monitor at the bottom of the screen. Because I was feeling it. And you can see them, their breathing intensifying. It was really fun to watch for me.
I have a new idea for a reality TV show. Heart rate monitor on everyone and put them in tense situations.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Done. But, yeah, no, I agree in that this is just, it's escalating and no one's de-escalating it. And it leads to this point where it sounds like we're all on a similar page here if Risako seems to be losing this argument.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
And then Haruka throws off the gloves and kind of does a low blow here where she drops the bomb. Are you keeping a secret? Because we all know that you're really a smoker.
Well, it's like she's getting her back, right? It's like revenge. Yeah, because it's like, well, if we're just going to start throwing each other shit out there that we know about each other, you telling Kenny and announcing to everyone at Terrace House that I like him. Well, now I know shit about you and I don't say it. That was like her demonstrating it. But she's like, well, fuck it now. Like, that's her upending the table, right?
Yeah,
and throwing all the chess pieces on the ground. It's like, well, you fucking smoke and you're a trainer. And you don't want anyone to know about it because it's a bad look. And guess what? It's kind of a bad look. And guess what? It's probably not good for business. And I can understand why Risako would be pissed about that. But at the same time, she is a smoker. So she kind of should maybe own it.
And what I like here, too, is that Risako fires back and says, well, you're a smoker, too. So which Haruka says that at least I haven't been trying to hide it.
I'm not hiding it. Right.
But one, I don't remember a time when Haruka smoked on the show, and two, I also don't care. You know,
that's a lot less concerning than like my physical trainer is a smoker.
Right. And to be fair, I think she probably like it could have been the case where Risako maybe she was smoking, but it wasn't really when the cameras were on or recording,
mm-hmm.
right? Whereas maybe Haruka was smoking. And the cameras were on her, but that edit just didn't make the show.
Right. That's totally feasible.
Right.
This is just another example of Risako being a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, more water in the basement here. You know, she smokes and she's a trainer. She will blast people out there and put their feelings out there, but then doesn't like it when it's done to her.
Nope.
There's a lot of things going on here with Risako, sadly.
Yeah. And so I will say, though, I think here that Haruka loses a few points because... It's right after the smoker reveal, Risako is like, you're just trying to tear me down. You're just trying to go for revenge. You know, that's all this is. And Haruka disagrees and says that it's more about the fact that I've been respectful of your boundaries, but you haven't been respectful of mine.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree. Yeah, that's the main instigator here. I think Risako is definitely the person who started the fire for this argument. However, I do think revealing the smoker thing is definitely just a little bit of petty revenge. Maybe not petty, but it's definitely revenge-fueled aggression.
And as you put it on the panel, like, it must have felt good to let off all that steam. You're carrying all this weight. Like, fuck you. That's why. And it's like, okay, they pretty much torpedoed any possibility of them having any kind of real long-lasting bond beyond their time together in the house now, too. Then, you know, they're kind of agree to disagree here.
Yep.
It's not that cordial at this point in time, though.
No.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, they're not going to be friends.
One of the last things Risako says in this argument is, I haven't said you're trying to construct an image. Bitch, please. Yes, you are, though. Like, because I mean, she doesn't explicitly say you're an actress, so you construct an image. But when you like, you know, it's the typical when it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, talks like a duck. It's a duck. Right, because she says all these things alluding to the fact that you're an actress, you know how you look on camera, you know how to, you know what acting like yourself does and what acting like you're interested in someone does. It's like, yes, that means you're trying to construct an image. That's what you are saying,
Risako.
I never said that.
She's not the kind of person you can have like a reasoned, rational conversation or discussion with when she gets this pissed, because she just will talk herself in circles. She'll contradict herself. She'll talk herself into corners and then lie to get out of them. It's just like, okay, I just can't deal with you. Like, hands in the air.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but she ends up being the one that loses her cool, Risako, that is, and gets up and leaves. And that's where I'm like,
it's like,
boom. Yeah. Hey. Yeah. And that's why, okay, she fucking lost. She lost. Yeah. That's it. She's waving the white flag, throwing in the towel, she's tapping out. I'm going to Eggman. We're going to party hard all night. Is Sonic going to be there?
Okay, I wasn't going to make that
you.
Joke.
Wow.
But I will say, I looked up what Eggman is, because I needed to know what it was before I'd made an ignorant Sonic the Hedgehog joke, Jack. But no, Eggman actually looks like a cool venue. Like, I'd go to it if I were in Shibuya. Not going to lie. Mm. It's like, it's a place where they have live shows with rock bands who are up and coming and are, like, almost about to sign a record deal.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, so it's like,
I'm wearing blue today, so I've got my Sonic on the
Sonic
brain.
Sonic vibes. I did yes. notice that, like, because she went and told Kenny essentially what had happened and what her plans were now. And he was like, oh, that's like hardcore partying.
Whoa,
like,
yeah.
You're going to go to Eggman? Like, oh.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I will say that's just not a good look for Risako, because when it's already revealed that you're a smoker and your idea to blow off steam after an argument where you were a smoker is revealed, and your the way you blow off steam is to go out and party.
It's the middle, like, of the night, too.
Yeah.
It's, like, late.
Yeah.
No, I
puts
mean,
on her hat.
It's like she's given up on trying to look good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then right before she leaves, she goes into the boys' room and says something to Kenny, where she's like, yeah, we got into it pretty bad. And she basically colors the narrative to make it sound like Risako was the victim to Kenny. Right?
Right. It's really annoying, honestly. And the way Risako approaches Kenny, too, is she's like, oh, I'm sorry we got you involved in this. Like, oh,
he's
Kenny,
like,
didn't need
involved
to be involved.
In what?
Yeah.
He's like, what? Huh?
And
yeah.
Then he says Kenny. To her that, you know, that he, what happened when Haruka entered the room. Right. Well, I revealed that I don't have feelings for her and I have feelings for you. And that might like have also rubbed or put, I can't remember the way he said it, but that
it might have rattled been, Haruka.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. I like how she just, like, flops over onto the ground. Like, she's sitting, and then she just lays down.
Like
and
a
that's
sea bass.
Kind of, like, her response to this pseudo-confession.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah, she's like, oh, yeah, like, I might have lost the argument, but I want Kenny.
great. Yay, Kenny.
Good for
great
you.
Prize.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll last.
Right. Yeah. It's just so... I don't know, man. I walked into this season feeling like Risako would be one of my favorites, but man, she's a real bench.
It's a bad look, this one. I mean, we'll see what happens. She's, yeah, we'll see if she can redeem herself. She kind of does later on this episode. I mean, we'll get there soon, you know. Mm-hmm. But she leaves, and then I can't remember what happens next, but what I remember liking in this episode was Ruka was winning points with me because of his sweet concern he had for Risako when she left. In the bedroom, he's talking to Kenny and he's like, where'd she go, Eggman? Well, it's late at night, like, it's not safe to be out, like, we need to, is she okay, is she with somebody?
Dangerous.
He was super concerned. He was like real big brother, and it was just, I don't know, it was kind of nice to see. Yeah, it's kind of sweet.
He was like, I'll go pick her up, like,
yeah.
And we
yeah.
later learned that there is some significant context here to saying that, like, it's dangerous out there at night.
Yeah,
right.
Like, and what I did find nice about this scene, too, is that at first Ruka says, hey, Kenny, can you text her and, you know, just, you know, ask her where she is and if she's safe. But at least Kenny has the mental acuity here to realize that if he does anything right now, it might make things worse between Haruka and Risako.
As hard as that is to believe that things can get worse.
Right.
Yeah.
But at least, like, I think this might be the first time we've seen Kenny think on the show.
Whoa.
Yikes. Kenny Defense Force.
KDF.
I don't know. I mean, I did like that scene. That was cute. Also, there's a scene in the girls' room where Haruka finally gets to debrief with Kaori, right? And, you know, basically here we just hear Haruka's side of the aftermath of the story. And this one's also a little weird in that, you know, Haruka's saying, I guess we're just different. We think differently. And that's kind of the main problem with this argument. Oh, and also I got shut down by Kenny, right? To which Kaori is saying, I don't like the way he shut you down. I feel like it was a little harsh.
And that's where I was like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. What I didn't agree. But
then we find out.
Right. Because then knowing later on, you know, they mentioned the whole, like, oh, your life's such a drama line. Right. Like, was it also cut out of this scene? And if so, why? Like, now it just seems like Kaori jumps to conclusions and doesn't analyze things properly.
Yeah.
It was weird.
It is weird. It's really strange. I don't understand why they do that. It's just completely ruining what gets conveyed from scenes now.
Yeah, it just clouds up, like, the narrative, right? It just ruins the thread here. I'm like, why am I not understanding why people are saying what they're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, because at first we're like, everyone's being like way oversensitive. Like, he was totally fine the way he said that. Like, yeah, it hurts, but I don't think he was out of line.
But yeah,
and then later we learned that he was totally out of line.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because from what, well, all we know, we like Kenny gave Haruka a straight answer after she asked for one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Controversial Terrace House opinion. Uh-oh. Maybe we need a script to avoid this kind of shit.
Oh, no.
Welcome to Terrace House. Can we get a transcript? There's sort of a script.
I have also, we'll get to there later in the episode, but I have a script conspiracy theory in this episode later. We'll get there.
Ooh.
Oh, my.
Ooh. Okay.
Just drop that nugget there.
All right, a little nug, a little dang nug. So we cut to the next day. We're at the first floor. It's Kaori and Shohei. Shohei just got home at 11 a.m. He was a party boy that night.
The past two nights.
Yeah. he was out partying with his friends from Taiwan. And then Kenny comes home. Or no, he doesn't come home. He just comes downstairs, goes into the room. And it's here that Kenny fills in Shohei regarding the whole, I guess the name of the episode, the girl fight, right? Mm-hmm. And while he's telling Shohei the story from like the best he can recount it, this is when Kaori jumps in and is like, also, I don't like the fact that you said what a crazy drama you're living right now, huh? And this is the first time in the episode that we hear that, we see that. And it's like, no.
Couple things here. First time Kaori was actually pissed, and I was kind of scared, to be honest. I wouldn't have liked been Kenny on the other side of the table with that look on Kaori's face. Yeah.
Yeah, she was literally about to throw punches.
When she said that, what did Shohei do?
She laughs.
Yeah. It was so funny. And then Kenny's just like, calm the fuck down, man. Chill, bro. Chill. You're going to make me laugh. Because Kenny's trying to like treat this like a mature adult because it's now Kaori, right? Like, he's a little more buttoned up now. He's a little more professional. Mm-hmm. You know, where if she wasn't there, he might have laughed too if it was just the guys in the room.
Yeah. He respects her opinion for sure.
He's trying not to look like a dick.
Yeah. Shohei would have been like, dude, you're a fucking idiot.
Dude, the laugh was so good. Shohei does not give any fucks at all. It's awesome.
Dude, Shohei's laugh is maybe the best thing about the season.
So far.
But yeah, and here Kenny at least admits fault. He's like, yeah, that was a heartless thing of me to say. So at least he knows that. It's just weird that we didn't know that.
It's just weird that he wouldn't know that in the moment. Are you that tone deaf, dude? To Haruka's feelings? I mean, she said everything to him to his face. Like, why would you why would you say that to her after the fact? It made Kenny definitely lost points with me there. I think he knew it was a dick thing to say and he just didn't care. But now Kaori's taking him to task for it and he's like, oh shit.
So like, yeah, it's a shitty thing to say, but I think what's even worse than what was actually said was what it implies about
how Kenny he feels about Haruka.
Yeah, thinks and feels.
Yeah, he doesn't give a fuck about her.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, cold. Do you guys think that it's like a little bit of a like a meta thing where it's like you're trying to start drama because we're on Terrace House and it's like,
that's Terrace House. Like Kenny's trying to start drama? Is that what you're saying?
No, that he's accusing Haruka of trying to start drama for the sake of like, oh, we're on Terrace House.
No, I don't.
What a crazy drama you live in.
I mean, maybe, but I don't think I don't think I would go that far personally. I would say though that I mean, it at least goes as far as like I don't think he really cares all that much about Haruka. In all reality,
when you say that, Daily, maybe I'm thinking that maybe I'm putting myself in Kenny's seat. Maybe he was thinking that she was trying to create a dramatic moment when she walked in the room and just started crying.
Yeah, it didn't seem to foster that he was like,
yeah. It didn't seem to foster any sympathy on his part. If anything, he just got a little bit colder. I was surprised when he asked her to sit next to him when she needed the pillow, to be honest. I was like, oh.
Like, the way I read that line, it kind of comes off as like, he's an old man. He doesn't have time for these youths and their bullshit drama.
These youths.
That's the way I read it.
He's going for the most immature one.
Yeah, that's the ironic thing, right? But like, just the way that Kaori delivered the line, because like, obviously we didn't hear it because of the fucking show. But the way that the line was delivered, it just kind of sounds like someone saying like, oh, these darn youths and their drama and trying to pull me into the drama. What a crazy drama they live in.
Do you think he successfully smoothed it over with Kaori here when he apologized?
No.
No. I feel like it's definitely Kenny lost a lot of points with Coyote because of this whole situation. I feel like unless they talk sometime later about it, it's not really resolved yet.
Time will tell.
So Shohei's whole take on the girl fight here is that only Haruka and Risako can resolve this situation. The other four should not get involved because the other two are adults, not children, and we can't wrangle them or anything like that. And then he zooms out a bit, and by a bit, I mean a lot. Like, he just goes to Google Earth and just scroll wheels down because he's like, also, there are much worse things happening out there in the world. And then he references a nearby homicide that happened not too far from here.
Scary. And, like, I, as a Westerner, I just tend to think of, and this might still be true, but, like, Japan is, like, one of the safest, you know, countries in the world with the least amount of homicides and least amount of crime. And which is why the tax incident, you know, is such a big deal there, whereas it might not have been a big deal in America where violent crime happens on a daily basis. But it was kind of scary to hear that a homicide had happened so close to where Terrace House was. I don't know. I was concerned. I was like, oh, God,
you know where my dark ass brain went? What if it was Risako? That's where my brain went for a minute there. And I was
Robert, you mean Risako murdered someone, or no, Risako was murdered?
Yeah. Murdered.
Oh, okay. I was like, it could be either.
She took her rage on Haruka.
Like, I was like, one or the other.
Oh, gosh. The parkour incident. She parkoured someone to death.
That, like, if we were living, like, in a totally fictional world here, that would be really great foreshadowing, too. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a murder just, like, down the street the other day, and then it's like, it was Risako.
They had footprints size 6 on their face.
Oh,
when
shit.
They died. He does have perspective. Like, wow, what a charmed life we live where this is the biggest drama happening in the world today. There are actual really big problems happening. And this is what Terrace House is concerned with. And I kind of get his point, too. You know, whenever I'm having a bad day, like, I always think to myself, I mean, there's people with, like, real problems out there. Like, you know, every day they're struggling just to live some semblance of a normal life. And so I kind of go with that, too. And as Kyrie said, that's how he finds equilibrium.
Yes. I don't know. I think Shohei won some points for me in general. I do think kind of zooming out that far, it kind of mocks and ridicules the current drama in the house, which I guess is his point. But at the same time, like, these are people you know. Like, at least he isn't saying that to their face, right?
Yeah. People are allowed to be upset too.
Yeah. And for the most part, I do agree with him that, yeah, I think the rest of the house should be hands off. This should not be something that divides the house into a civil war, Terrace House civil war, TM. But I think he's maybe kind of treating this like him and Kaori are treating this in the most adult way, which I like.
Yeah.
We cut to, I assume it seems like it's later in the day, but we have Shohei and Haruka now in the first floor. And Shohei compliments her soup from the morning, so I guess he kind of just stole some of her soup after he got home drunk. Well, not drunk anymore, but, you know, after a night of drinking. And then they start talking about that live show they're going to be going to on the 1st of July, right? And Haruka, for one reason or another, I couldn't tell you why, doesn't really want to see Kenny's show anymore.
Oh, yeah. No idea.
Huh.
She's like, well, I don't really have to go with that, to that thing.
Yeah,
it was because she said the line, right? Like, he said, what a life you live. And it made me think that what a drama your life is. And it made me think that, wow, he really doesn't care about me, which is pretty much true and confirmed now. And so I don't blame her for not wanting to go either. I wouldn't want to patronize that. You know, I can't go to a band show. I hate the lead singer. Boat. Yeah. Good example here. Like, Guns N' Roses was at ACL this year. And like, I hate Axl Rose. So like, no, I love the song. I love the music, but I didn't go and watch their stage, right? I left. Mm. You know, so it can ruin the show for you.
I love how Shohei was like, oh, yeah, I get that. And then he's kind of like,
I want to go myself.
But I'm probably going to go later. After we get tea, I'm probably going to go.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Pretty Shohei thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, him and Kenny are still friends. So yeah,
and he doesn't. Right, he's just trying not to concern himself and get in the middle of it, too.
Right, right.
But still have a date with Haruka somehow.
It's here that he also drops some nugs of wisdom that I like. He conveys to Haruka, like, yeah, the rest of the house, we're not going to take sides. This is just you and Risako.
Right.
And then also, he says something that feels very Zen, very Buddhist almost. But just Find the path of least resistance. Time takes care of the rest.
Dang, the more dude. You know.
Yeah,
put that on a sampler.
Yeah.
Straight fucking fortune cookie philosophy shit.
Mm-hmm. Confucius says.
Yeah, Confucius says. And so I thought that was actually really cool that, I mean, I think that's the right thing to do is, like, no one's going to take sides because they just don't want to split the house down the middle. This is between Risako and Haruka. And so they need to find common ground. And they talk about finding common ground when Risako comes to talk to Haruka later.
Enter Risako.
Before we jump into Risako, can I just say, did anyone notice Shohei's shirt in this scene?
Adonis.
He keeps wearing it.
Yeah, well, it was this weird one where it was like this cartoon girl and I think a monokini, and it almost looks like she's playing with herself. And it's like,
yikes.
Is that safe for work?
This is TVMA.
Is that the shirt?
Yeah, all these sensitive people saying we cuss too much. Dude, this is adult entertainment television, all right? Let's just lay it out plain.
TVMA. Yeah, I don't know. I wanted to point out the shirt because it was like, why do you have that shirt? But yeah, no, Risako comes home and she finally gets to talk to Haruka face to face post girl fight incident. And surprisingly, Risako kind of owns up a bit here and admits that she hasn't been thinking much about how Haruka feels whenever she says anything. And now she kind of regrets some of the things she said. And Haruka is simpatico. She's like, yeah, I regret revealing the smoker thing.
So they both had their chance to blow off some steam. They both come to the realization that they're not going to be friends and it's pointless to force it. But let's just conclude this amicably. But what, Daily?
Well, I felt like it kind of came up to Haruka was like, you know, we just can't force a friendship. And, you know, but then Risako was like, but I want to understand. Like, I want to work toward understanding. Mm-hmm. So I read that as, she's like, no, I still want to be around you. I still want to hang out. I want to learn from this incident.
Yeah, no one's going to leave because of this, right? They're going to try and cohabitate and coexist. But the thing about this is that, okay, so Risako obviously had time to leave and gather her thoughts. I'm assuming she probably talked with a bunch of her friends and is like, how can this come to some kind of honorable conclusion? And I just got the sense here. Maybe it's just me, but I got the sense here that this was such a planned stage conversation, like not with the producers of the show, but like with Risako and Haruka, like internally themselves, like, all right, we have to have this moment now where we're not going to fight anymore and like resolve this for their image on the show. Mm. So it rung like insincere to me. Like they're both now worried about how they look on the show. The dirty laundry's out there already and they're trying to mitigate the damage, and they realize how bad it could look for both of them if they don't make up right away, because it seemed really fast to me, and this is the most depressing part of the show. Like, I wanted this incident to keep going, man, like multiple episodes. I wanted this to be a thing, and now they're just trying to squash the beef right away. And okay, like in real life, like, yeah, that's best to do, but like for my Terrace House drama, I wanted this to continue. So I was sad that they made up so fast.
Yeah, I'm really with you on that, Jack. I was actually going to say the same thing if you didn't. They did make up way too fast. So, I mean, they were having this conversation. I mean, I think this was the next day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it was the next fucking day. Yeah, I mean, this was a catastrophic fight in the grand scheme of Terrace House in general.
The biggest one in Terrace House history.
Yeah.
Says Yama and you and everyone else.
Yeah. And there's no way in hell that you're coming back from this after only a day and a night of partying.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems a little fishy.
It seems super awkward. It did not seem sincere.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe it was just like so volatile that it's like, we need to get this off the table right here, right now, because otherwise no one's going to be able to function in the house. Like, I mean, that's fair kind of what I read into it, because it's like they're going to be unable to, you know, avoid each other entirely, living in the same house, sleeping in the same room. So it's just like, let's just deal with this now.
Yeah. Otherwise, the atmosphere in the house is going to be unbearable.
Well, I mean, yeah, for maybe for them. But I mean, Shohei even said it to everyone. It's like, hey, we can't get involved. You know, it seemed to me like other members of the house that were privy to the situation had kind of like their stance on it already, you know, and had said, OK, we're not going to get involved. So I really think it was more about their concern for them mitigating the damage that had already been done to their image by bringing it up. Maybe they both have some mutual understanding that's unspoken. This is just pure speculation. Maybe they're worried about the other dirt that wasn't brought up at that first initial conversation, like, well, they know all this other shit, so if we can't just, you know, it's like a mutually assured self-destruction kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, all right, let's just cease fire right now, because you know this and I know this, and it'd be really, really bad if this comes out, just by speculation here.
Yeah, wave a truce flag, white flag.
Mm-hmm. Right. But yeah, I just, like I said, it just seemed too fast. It seemed too weird, too awkward at the table there. Mm. I don't know.
I mean, I think that's just something we have to kind of understand about Terrace House in general, is that since they aren't filming, you know, 7 days a week, this probably does happen often, where the people in the house kind of plan, like, okay, let's have this conversation on camera, or that conversation on camera, right? Obviously, this one seems a little bit more obvious, but for the most part, this is probably almost always happening.
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely a crazy big, like, metagame happening here, to a degree. And so what I actually like, I think it was this episode, but Yama actually brings up the fact that, like, Kenny isn't actually doing much, right? Mm-hmm. And we even talked about it too, right? He's not really doing that much in the house, and it's getting to the point where everyone on the panel's like kind of edging toward the theory that he's just there for the fame, and like kind of like putting himself out there and giving himself a platform to like advertise his brand, his art, and his band and everything else.
Yeah.
What I was gonna say.
No, I was just gonna say, like, Yama's just really. I mean, they're actually calling it out now, that it's out there. Like, they're aware of it too.
I brought this up offline to you guys before, but I've never actually said it on the show. But I want to put these vibes out there, because Kojima is in the news here recently, coming out with Death Stranding. Right. I need a Terrace House licensed Kojima Productions developed dating simulator of Terrace House. With churches as the background music. I need this game to exist. I want this. Let's make it happen.
And then you find out halfway through it's all been a simulation. Fish and mail.
And then you have to go through this really long radiated hallway and mash the button to get through to find your lost love.
Oh, and an anime otaku talks to you in your ear to give you tips.
Yes. Tricks.
I'm so confused. It's Kojima's health. I am otaku in your ear.
Giant and shaman.
We do know that Kojima is aware of Terrace House, though. He did retweet Church's being on the Terrace House soundtrack.
He watches it. He's a fan of Terrace House. That's why this is not so far-fetched. I want this game. Okay, I've said it. It's out there in the ether now. Internet, do your thing.
A dating simulator to surpass Metal Gear.
Whoa.
Yes.
All right. Okay, that's enough Kojima talk.
Yes.
So after Haruka and Risako's very amicable makeup session in the first floor, that doesn't really sound great to say, but whatever. We cut to Harajuku. We go to this office for a company called Beams Beams in all caps.
Yikes.
Thanks.
Yikes. Ouch.
Yep.
In all caps, and Cowdy is working on some shirt designs for the company, and it's kind of a neat little, you know, work montage thing where we get to see her grow as an artist and as a person, right? Because, you know, at first she says, oh, I've made some shirt designs, but just by myself, so they had to be simpler, but now that we have all these resources, I can work on larger motifs. It's cute.
Love how Kaori's like universally charming, like everyone is like smitten with her instantly, and I don't feel like I'm just speaking out of my very biased point of view here, because it's like, you know, she said, oh, I was just like doing screen printing by myself, and everyone's like, ah ha 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 ha, like, you're so charming, Kaori.
Yes. To go off of that too, like, definitely after the events in this episode, Kaori has firmly, in my mind, taking her place as top girl of the house, best girl of the house so far.
Best
like,
girl.
Like, way up there. Like, it's her and, like, by a country mile. And, like, even when she was mad and scolding Kenny at the table, you know, she starts to lighten up. She starts to smile. And, again, whenever she smiles, it's just the room just lights up. It's like, ah, Kari's smiling again. What's happening? Yeah. What's happening? I hear a harp.
Every time she smiles.
Yes, I do. It's crazy. That's all.
And the rest of this episode is, in my opinion, maybe some of the funniest shit that's ever been on Terrace House. Like, I had to pause it 3 times or so because I was laughing so much that I just couldn't. It's so good.
Are we bringing in Yusuke here?
We are. Like, Haruka's just sitting there on the first floor. Ping pong. You hear the doorbell. And she goes to the doorbell. It's like, Aizawa desu. And at first, she's like very confused because it's Yusuke.
Aizawa?
Aizawa? Yeah. Huh? Yeah, but it's Inkai. It's Yusuke Aizawa from Aloha State. We see him return again after we saw him, what was that, 2 episodes ago performing, yeah. Maybe?
This is
two,
a three. Big, fat old cameo here. And, like, so obviously, like, light-ass spoilers for Aloha State. If you haven't seen that yet and want to, like, go in completely blind, because obviously he's from there. So
yeah, I got spoilers.
You did. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, you did.
There's going to be light spoilers on this, too, because we have to talk a little bit about his stuff to dissect his what history, is so significant here. Yeah. So go ahead. Okay.
So I love how, you know, he comes in. Haruka's like, oh, do you want some to drink? We got some water. I'm going to get some water. And as she goes to get the water, she's like, so I saw the catfish episode.
I can't remember exactly which one that is.
Do I'm trying to...
Maybe, but I just, I don't...
You might want to hear earmuffs. You're not going to get this.
Just tell me, is that the scene that we all think about with him?
Yeah, okay. So Daily has her headphones off, so we can talk freely. So yeah, this is the scene where Yusuke is fucking like, hey, Lauren, let's go out to a movie.
Oh, and then after the movie, the catfish.
Yes.
And he goes to the table reservation by himself.
Yeah, dude. He goes to eat catfish alone, and it's so good. It's such a good scene.
Why did you have to watch that one right before I showed up?
Yeah. Haruka's reasoning was that, hey, I'm going to be seeing Yusuke tonight perform.
Okay,
we're gonna be seeing Yusuke soon, so I should catch up on his fried.
Let's get Daily back in here.
Yeah,
I feel bad.
Yeah. Oh Daily. Man, hi Daily.
I'm back.
Welcome back, okay. Daily.
Oh,
so we just had. I just had to clarify what she meant when she said the catfish episode, and now I know. And now it's really sad.
Yeah. So after she doubles down and is like, "Yeah, I needed to catch up on that catfish episode," Yusuke's immediately like, "Wow, this house is so big."
Deflecting.
Deflecting. Can I have a toy?
Deflecting.
Get off of it. Yeah. And so, okay, here's where my conspiracy comment comes in, okay? How the fuck does he show up at a time where no one's home? Like, she wasn't expecting him. The only person inviting him was Kenny, right? Was the person who actually invited him. Why is Kenny not there? Why is Kenny surprised he's there? That's some bullshit right there to me. That's some motherfuckery, black magic. Of course you would show up when Kenny is there at minimum, right?
Right.
If not everyone else, because this is a big cameo. So this seemed like totally set up to me and just was like, okay, there is some fucking, like I said, some black magic motherfuckery going on here.
As much as I agree with that, I think this is maybe my favorite scene of the episode, though.
Oh, it's a fantastic scene. I'm glad it happened, don't get me wrong, but it just seems weird that to suggest that this is happening organically, I guess.
Right.
Hard to believe.
So the way the scene develops is at first Haruka confides in Yusuke. She talks about everything, about the whole Kenny thing and the Risako thing. And, you know, it's easy to do that because he's from outside the house, right? It's like an external source. So they, like, that's something we can all kind of relate to, is that it's easier to confide in someone that's not directly related to what your problems are.
Right, totally. And, yeah, it's like a godsend for her right now. She needs this.
And immediately after she's done saying, hey, the guy that I liked turned me down for the girl that I hate, Yusuke's like, huh. So I'm going to be back here in July. Do you want to go out then?
My man, Yusuke! Bro, that was so awesome because he nutted up. He reached down, grabbed those whales and did something that was so hard for him to do before. I was so proud of him at that moment.
Oh,
I was
so like,
really?
Is that the greatest time to do it?
Bro,
he did it.
Opportunistic, man. You got to have the backstory here because this is such a triumph for this guy to me.
It is.
Also, second thing, too, he's got a certain type, too, with the girls he goes after. And listen, I'm not to say that they're out of his league, but maybe they are kind of out of his league when he's shooting for the stars here. So, because he's going for her. So, whatever. But hey, man, I'm super happy for this guy. It was a triumphant, like, fist pumping moment for him when he was just like, seize the day. Carpe diem, motherfucker. I know you like Kenny, but if you don't feel like that around him next time I'm back, why don't me and you do some things? You know what I'm saying, little girl?
That is, that's not exactly what he said. But
that's the vibe. But it was awesome to see if you know this guy.
Well, so can I offer counterpoint? I feel like that's bad timing.
It was kind of, yeah. It's kind of bad timing. Yeah.
It's not, but it's a thing. Like, this is the time. He's alone with her. One-on-one. Of what we know of him, it's really hard for him to say, it was really hard for him to say anything ever. And for him to do this, it was just such to me, I'm seeing progression in his character. And like I said, he saw the opening and he took it. Maybe it's not the best time. I get it. But I think it just shows growth. And that's what I like. That's what I'm celebrating here.
I was going to say, I feel like he's instantly, not quite instantly, this is jumping ahead just a little bit. But like when she finally gives him like the tour of the house and they go up to the roof, like she kind of like brushes him off like, oh, I hope you'll find someone, but then she's also like, we have such great chemistry, but also like, I'm sure you'll find someone.
That's the guy's wife, dude.
So please let's not skip over my favorite moment in this episode. Okay, so they're on the roof and
might get your ass wet.
This is so bad because my lungs hurt, but Haruka asks, did you find a girlfriend after leaving Terra's house? And Yusuke says the choicest fucking sentence I've ever heard a human being utter.
I forgot about this.
There was someone that I thought I was dating.
Dude.
I had to pause it. I couldn't get through that.
We have to talk about this guy just a little bit. I mean, whenever the day comes where we cover Aloha State, we will go in. But, like, we have to talk about what's happening here and now in this episode, okay? The thing with Yusuke is that he is so absolutely, utterly harmless that girls just don't have a foothold at all, I feel like. The girls that he's interested in, they just have nothing to be attracted to. They don't have anything. He's just so rounded off. All the sharp edges are sounded off. He's so harmless that I think, is something that is really working against him, because he keeps trying to date people and just is not working.
He cool ukulele player.
Yeah.
Doesn't that work for him at all?
So
because I have watched the first episode and everyone seemed to be like, oh damn, when he played the ukulele the first time.
Well, here's the thing. So you're losing a lot of the impact the scene that we're talking about right now has, if you've seen Aloha State already. Because Yusuke is so damn hopeless when it comes to dating. It is just like, makes real fucking sense that he's just like, I thought I was dating someone. Turns out I wasn't. And this dude cannot win.
Even without context, like the sentence, I thought I was dating someone, is like the saddest sentence you could utter.
Yikes, it was bad.
It was just, at least it was just like 2 days that this went on versus like 2 months of thinking that you're dating someone.
God, it was long distance too. It's like, dude, come on.
I can somewhat see where that would happen, where it's like, oh, like, we're really good friends, haha. And then it's like, oh shit, I thought we were
We went to that movie and we shared the popcorn. Okay, you had your own drink, but we were sharing the popcorn and our elbows touched. Okay, we're basically married.
Yeah, that's what marriage is.
Yusuke is just like, you could just see, you could see it in his eyes as he was saying it, like just the absolute morose. Let's just.
But yeah, I was getting
loneliness manifesting.
Daily, I was definitely getting like the Haruka vibes. Like, she's like, okay, we're really good friends right now. Aren't we good friends? Like, I definitely wasn't getting any romantic vibes.
I feel like I
can
just talk to you about anything. Yeah. We have such great chemistry. I'm sure you'll find someone one day. But someone.
Yeah, the panel is a little more hopeful for Yusuke, though, right? Because they're thinking, like, for one, they applaud Yusuke for doing everything he did. They think he's adorable and he's trying. But they also hope that Haruka, quote, realizes her feelings for him. And I'm thinking, I don't know if even in the deepest recesses of Haruka's heart, mind, and soul, there are any romantic feelings for Yusuke.
Isn't, though, Haruka perhaps a better fit with the ukulele than the guitar with her pinky? Just saying.
Maybe. But that's just about playing ukulele. I don't...
Yeah. Hey, listen, man. He's so harmless. I'm trying to grasp
something
here. You're
trying to grasp any sharp edge. I'm grasping
air here. Yeah, come on. Give me a break.
No, it wasn't harmless, though. The way the panel just, like, went in and, like, get ready for some filthy content here, they were just like, oh, man, he's going to, like, have to peel, like, his jeans off of his leg when he gets on the train because he just came in his pants. Like,
you're
talking to him like that.
It's moist ass pants. Oh, man.
I'm sorry. I didn't.
Jesus.
I didn't think of it that way. I thought it was just sweat, but now it's a different body fluid, and now I'm looking at this scene entirely different right now. So he just,
why not
so
both?
He,
oh,
so he
Jack,
just chisels,
you're so innocent.
He just chisels his pants off of his legs, throws them on the floor, and they just shatter into a million pieces.
Ever chisels.
Oh, they probably break off while he's chiseling.
He's fucking sanding the pants off of him.
Oh my gosh. Okay, this is the
power
visual.
Sander.
This is the visual now. Welcome to Tadaima. Thank you, everyone.
Oh my god.
Oh, Yusuke. Look, I know Yusuke understands English, and if you ever hear this, I'm sorry, but man.
Oh, no.
This is so funny, though, man.
You jizzed your pants, sir.
Like, I mean, you have to realize on some cosmic level that this shit's hilarious, right? Like,
I feel like it would be like Catfish episode part two, where he gets to talk with Haruka, and it's just a shot of him going into the bathroom and looking himself in the mirror. He just starts peeling his pants.
It's like that scene in Joker where he goes into the bathroom and starts dancing.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
He grabs the sides of his mouth to make himself smile.
Dude, are we implying that he's gonna murder someone because he keeps getting turned down?
Dude, no. Please no.
We
no,
gotta
don't
stop
be,
talking about
don't
murder.
Become
in
an
this
incel,
episode, please.
Don't become an incel.
Yeah, that's the last thing you should do. Okay.
Anyway.
Well, wow. Hopefully, it doesn't end up on r/nice
here. All right.
Okay, you're right. It's my fault.
No,
I thought y'all knew.
I thought it was cum.
Soundbite. They never explicitly say it, but I was like, I don't know what.
You know, Robert, you need to be careful what you say on the show because you've been quoted already on Twitter.
I know. Okay?
You need to quit throwing these out here. Robert Scarpinito, I thought it was cum. You can just see like a prospective employer looking up your name on Twitter in the next 6 months. Like, is it true, Mr. Scarpinito, that you said you thought it was cum? Okay, just change.
I mean, at the time, yes.
Little did you know, our boy Yusuke was wearing a diaper in this scene for this exact reason.
All right, that's the end. That's the end.
I'm not going to say the next thing that came to my mind. Anyway. First floor.
He's not a furry.
We're back in the show. Haruka and Yusuke are there, and you know Yusuke brings out his uke. She brings out her little guitar and tells the story behind the guitar and why she brought it to the house and why she's probably now going to bring it home. She mentions she needs to change the strings, and Yusuke's like, "Oh,
I'll change them for you.
I can do them for you. Yeah,
I'll do it for you.
I change my strings before every show."
I'll do it for you. I got strings right here. Got strings you need.
She's just like starts throwing, like all those pockets, just pulling out like all these packs of strings and throwing them at her.
I got Skittles too. You like Skittles?
But yeah, like Haruka's still telling kind of the story of her and Kenny. And then when she starts to shift the conversation over to Yusuke and is like, oh, the sight of you playing guitar was so, and then Kenny walks in. Tadaima.
Kenny
just fucking breaks the ice. It's like Risuko walking into a room with Kaori and Haruka. And Kenny notices Haruka's guitar, and now he's being all nice. He's like, oh, you know, I got some strings for you. If we, you know, we can change the strings if you
no,
want.
No, I'm taking them home.
Don't pretend.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel so awkward for Yusuke here because Haruka is like, no, I insist the strings are fine. And then she looks to Yusuke and is like, right, Yusuke, the strings are fine.
Yikes. And Yusuke knows. Keep in mind, she's already confided in him that she likes Kenny.
Yeah.
And
Yusuke's just in the corner with his head down like
he always
what's
is.
What's happening?
Yeah.
Yeah. He again changes the point of the conversation. He's like, oh, Kenny, I came over so we could jam. Let's jam.
Good. Weird that you weren't here, Kenny.
Yeah. It's like, I came over here to jam with Kenny. Let's go at a time when Kenny is not home.
I need to bring something up that has nothing to do with this shit, but it's very distracting because you are literally right now drinking out of the same cup that's in our album art.
I'm just yes, that's right. I forgot that this mug. Yeah.
Oh, yes, hi. And for all the people in podcast land that can't see this, just visualize that in your head right now. That's happening, and I noticed. That's all.
Fun fact.
Let's keep going.
The steam over that mug is photoshopped.
Yep.
Ooh.
Also, yeah, the words, they weren't enough. Actually in the trees there.
Well, no, I did actually hang those up on the tree.
Oh, you cut that out?
Yeah, okay. I climbed the tree in the ivy myself
to hang
the
You probably should have just done that Photoshop, actually. It was You cut yourself, and it was really bad.
Yeah, I should have, but oh well. Yeah, the steam was really all I needed to Photoshop.
You live, you learn.
But yeah, they jam, and that's kind of the end of this episode. You know, it's a cute little jam, I guess. I mean, I'm like, eh, you know, it's all right. And there are a lot of long shots of Haruka just kind of looking around, and it's this weird mix of what do I do with my hands and I'm in hell.
Okay.
She looks like she's about to cry.
Okay, guys.
She is crying. Guys. She's absolutely crying.
Yeah. Guys, let's not minimize this. This right now is one of the most haunting, most artistic, most memorable scenes I've ever seen, especially of this season. I love this shit. This is like filmmaking, like in its purest form. Like there's just music. I love that I don't know what he's saying because I don't speak Japanese. It's just, so I can just focus on the melody here. It's a very beautiful song that Kenny's singing here. He's having a moment with
Yusuke.
Thank you. He's having a moment there. You know, they're connecting as musicians. And just all the unspoken shit that's happening here. This is awesome. And Haruka is like really getting torn up and she's really getting choked up. And I think a part of what's making her cry is she's like, I really like this guy on the right of me. And he turned me down in the most vicious way and then really drove the point home when I was leaving the room. But now on the left of me is this totally harmless guy that I have no feelings for. And he's the kind of guy that is asking me out and is interested. And so is this my future? And I feel like that was almost like,
wow,
I know, ouch. I know. Listen, I don't, this brings me no pleasure to say, but like that was what the editing was at least expressing to me during this scene was like, because she kept looking to her left. She could barely look over to her right, especially when she started crying. She's like, this is what I want and I'm rejected from it. This is what wants me and I don't want that. And I felt like it was all just compounding there. And the song was really pretty. And I don't know. I just love that scene. And like I said, it was like a haunting moment, man. I'll never forget that part, I think.
Yeah, I think that that whole scene that, I mean, with Kenny being there and everything, it was just pushing the knife deeper and deeper and deeper.
Oh, my gosh.
And if I was her, I probably would have just up and walked away.
That would have been too awkward.
It's like, where does she escape? Does she walk in front of Yusuke? Does she walk in front of Kenny? Like, she was like, I physically felt trapped during that scene.
She grabs like, the banister behind her and just flips backwards
up
for the couch.
Well, she was Risako.
She learned something from Risako. Yeah, she's this is the
parkour.
So
she just pulls a smoke bomb out of somewhere.
Made of the smoke from Risako.
Oh shit.
Oh god, what does it smell like? Tobacco?
Man, it was just so painful. Like, it was like it was definitely like a love song. I feel like I caught a few words in there, and then it started with the English phrase like honey coffee, and it was like, oh, this is really like artsy and beautiful. And I feel like she did what Kenny was trying to prevent. She fell for Spicy Soul Kenny.
Yes.
The singer. Kenny the singer.
Yep.
Because Kenny the person is shitty.
Yep. Like, yep. Maybe that's why that keeps happening to Kenny. Maybe he keeps blaming everyone else. And it's really him.
Ooh.
Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, he's like, they expect me to be like this soulful singer, but in actuality, I'm just a piece of shit.
Yeah,
they gotta
learn
that first before they start dating me.
Yeah, but I love this scene, guys. I don't know. I love whenever we have a musician and they're enjoying themselves and they're playing songs and performing on the show. You know, even O&D Shohei. Mm. Even that shit, I like that. So it was a moment, man. And then and Haruka's got all the feels here. And I just curious to see where we end up next on the next episode.
Yeah, that closes the book in episode 9, but we're like we said at the beginning of the episode, we're still having episode 11 hyped up like crazy for us. So if it gets even crazier than this episode, what the hell is it?
We'll find out.
I'm so curious.
We'll find out.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
Like, we'll trek along. That's like what, probably 2 hours away from us. Well, 2 hours of Tara's house away from us, because these episodes are getting longer, I feel like. But I say let's wrap up this episode of Tadaima. If you have any questions, comments, theories, anything you think we missed about guitars and ukuleles and Yusuke's 2 day long love affair, please email any and all of those things to us at questions@terracehousepodcast.com. You can catch us next Tuesday where we cover episode 10, The Boy That Gets Treated. Weird title. Huh. Hmm. Weird name. I'm very intrigued. Well, you'll catch us next Tuesday on that, and I cannot wait.
All right.
This has been Tadaima. Thanks for listening. Itakimasu.
Follow us on Instagram at TadaimaGram, on Twitter at TadaimaPod, and check out our YouTube channel, Facebook group, and brand new Discord server, all linked in the show notes.